WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The remaining 20 living hostages released from Gaza today to cheers in Tel Aviv's Hostages Square. President Trump, who orchestrated the peace plan, is taking a victory lap in the Israeli Knesset right now.
We gather on a day of profound joy, of soaring hope, of renewed faith, and above all, a day to give our deepest thanks to the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
A disruptor ran through. He was tackled by security, Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Donald Trump is the greatest friend that the state of Israel has ever had in the White House.
Hundreds of Palestinian prisoners were released from an Israeli jail today and driven to the West Bank. An Israeli group says four bodies of the dead hostages will be returned Monday. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
4WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin farmers, particularly soybean growers, are expressing concerns about the impact of the Trump administration tariffs on their overseas markets. Joanne Krulatz reports.
Congressman Tom Tiffany says those concerns are being heard.
You know, I think you'll see the administration continue to use tariffs to bring production of, especially manufacturing, back to America. And the thing that I'm hearing more often now from the Ag Department is they're going to use some of that tariff revenue, which is significant, to help farmers out.
Tiffany says the U.S. needs to stay the course with the Trump administration's tariff policies.
The big player in this is China, and China is trying to bring America to its knees. Their goal is world hegemony. They want to control the 21st century.
Tiffany, who's running for governor, commented at the recent World Dairy Expo in Madison. Wisconsin farmers typically export about two-thirds of the roughly $1.3 billion worth of soybeans they grow annually. China has refused to buy any U.S.-grown soybeans this year, due to the tariffs. A recent statement from the nonpartisan Wisconsin Soybean Association says the organization is extremely concerned for the state's farm economy.
Governor Tony Evers says he will consider taking executive action to address the impacts of the federal government shutdown if needed. According to a WisPolitics report, Governor Evers told reporters that he'd specifically consider taking executive action to address issues with health care that arise amid the shutdown during a visit to Brown Deer. He referred to using state resources to keeping Wisconsinites healthy as low-hanging fruit and argued extending the Affordable Care Act tax credits shouldn't be a big thing for Republicans to accept. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers meet for Game 1 of the National League Championship Series at AmFam Field. The last time the Brewers made it this far was in 2018, when they lost in 7 games to this same Dodgers team. The Dodgers then advanced to the World Series, but lost to the Boston Red Sox in 5. College football. The Badgers, with another poor performance, losing 37-0 on homecoming to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Fall camp, I would tell you that we were in a better place. No, we're not better than most of the people or maybe anybody right now that we're playing.
NFL, the Packers over the Bengals, 27-18. Green Bay running back Josh Jacobs led with 5 receptions, 18 carries, for a total of 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, even though he had the flu.
I really don't know where it came from. Just kind of woke up this morning just not feeling my best. I told him, I said last time that I felt that way, I had 130 and 2 touchdowns. So it is what it is.
That's Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds with some showers lingering this morning, then increasing sunshine through the day today and pleasant with a high pretty close to 70. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, a low right around 40 degrees. And for tomorrow, partly sunny and a high close to 60. Right now it's 53.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You work so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm back with one of the most reasonable guys in politics, Tom Paulsiewicz. We dig into what the Pope has recently had to say about Donald Trump's anti-immigrant policies. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you back here up north on a Monday morning, October 13th. Parker Olson is producing this shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly standing by in the Green Bay area as well. It is 54 degrees in our entire the spot in the state side at 45 right now. Warm spot, 61 degrees in Madison, Milwaukee, La Crosse, Manitowoc, Sturgeon Bay, and elsewhere. Again, your local forecast throughout the course of the morning on your favorite Civic Media Radio Network station. Kristen, you did not do your usual biking to Lambeau Field to watch the Packers, and you have the sympathy or the understanding of Jim in Brookfield, who puts on the text line, "Good morning, Pat. As another new member of the Knee Replacement Club, I can completely understand why Dr. Lyerly did not bike to Lambeau Field. I'm an avid bicyclist who is 3.5 weeks out from surgery, and I'm currently having a hard time with a stationary bike at rehab. I'm confident it will only get better from Jim in Brookfield." Yes, it will.
Jim, yep. Keep your chin up. It does. Every day is a little bit better. It stinks when you can't be yourself. And it really gives you a great appreciation for people who live with challenges and physical disabilities every day. And they just get up and they do what they do and get through it. And we have to do the same.
And you know, despite the lengthy recovery, I mean, you still feel like this was the right move, that when all the recovery is finished, this will have been the thing that needed to get done.
Well, this is one of those investment in your future kind of things.
Yeah.
Because my knee was so unstable, it was making it hard for me to, like, you know, go up and down steps and even just to run. I couldn't run a short distance because I just felt like my knee was going to give out. So now I can do more things, or I will be able to once I'm recovered, which is going to make me age better. And ultimately, isn't that what we all want as we get older, to be the best that we can be?
Oh, I would have loved to have aged better. I really should have should have listened to all that advice back in the day. But well, you
got time to age better still.
I'm doing the best I can.
Pickling helps.
Actually, no, that's the whole point. I'm not doing the best that I can. But I can only go up from here, I hope. Anyway, it is 7:09, and all three of us are sitting here wearing Brewers gear of some sort or another, a T-shirt, a jersey, a Hawaiian shirt. All to note that the Milwaukee Brewers defeated the Chicago Cubs in Game 5 of the National League Division Series over the weekend and have moved on. We will now play for the National League pennant against the LA Dodgers starting tonight at American Family Field. And, of course, here on the Civic Media Radio Network as well, coverage begins at 6:30 for a first pitch at 7:08. Head to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, to learn more. I had some friends ask about, you know, coming out over the weekend, and it was like, no, because if the Brewers win, then there's going to be night games Monday and Tuesday, and I gotta keep a little reserve in the tank, you know, because again, the next couple of mornings are going to be, you know, one of those exciting but exhausted type of things.
It's the afternoons that really matter now, Pat, because that is nap time now.
So, don't you love how, is he not the youngest person we've ever known who has so thoroughly embraced nap time in the afternoons?
I don't know. I think that's a Gen Z thing.
I think it kind of is a little bit. Yeah.
Gen
Z. Calling them lazy
No. I think Gen Z is like, you know what? I know you guys did it this way, but it's not actually working. So we're going to do it this way because it actually works. I have a faith in Gen Z.
You know, it's funny that you say that because look, when you were coming up through residency, I know that every so often I would calculate it for Sherry, and sometimes she would be working at the hospital 100 hours a week, and I'm sure you weren't far off of that. Mm-hmm. And then you started to notice this trend where, you know, they decided not to try to kill the residents as they went through the program. Well, you know, the younger docs now, as they've talked about call schedules, I mean, again, for Sherry's generation, it was just assumed you would work a 24-hour shift, you know, like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or in residency, it was always, a lot more than that. And there had been this move about changing some call schedules and things. And one of the younger docs was like, put their foot down and said, absolutely not. There is no need to do 24s when we can do 12s. And so one was doing 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. and one was doing 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And for Sherry, who was like, it makes so much sense, but my generation wouldn't have dreamed of speaking up because you just did it because that's the way things were done. The younger folks are like, why? Why are we doing it? Why are we killing ourselves? We can do 12s instead of 24s. We're like, that's brilliant. Why didn't we think of that? Because
that's the thing about, right? That's the thing about Gen Z. They're just like, no, I don't think so. That's the way you've always been doing it. Nah, why? And, you know, it makes us question, like, why have we? Those work hour restrictions were game changers. But you have to balance also when you were there longer, you got to see more stuff. But after, there are studies that show that if you've been working 16 hours straight, after hour 16, your mental capacity starts to diminish. We're humans. And even when you're young, that is, you're just not taking the best care of patients after 16 hours. So actually, it's better for everybody. It's better for the people who work. It's better for patients who receive care. It's better for families who are, you know, trying to navigate that. It's better. It's just a giant change in the system and how the medical training system has to work. And it's been a very challenging, very challenging change.
It's all about allocation of resources, which takes us to the federal government shutdown.
Oh boy.
And when I asked, what do we want to kick around on Monday? And you said, can we mention that as part of the government shutdown, the president of the United States decided to lay off 1,000 people or so at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention because nothing screams competent government like laying off the people who respond to Ebola and Mpox and measles outbreaks in the U.S. and things like that. I mean, there's been a lot of, and again, here comes that S word again, and I'm sorry, people don't like this, but it's stupid. And there have been some stupid layoffs and stupid moves, but laying off the people who respond to Ebola outbreaks and things like that is right up there on the list of stupid.
Ebola is not in this country because we keep an eye on it. And these are the people who have gotten laid off. And not to mention all of the respiratory diseases. We are entering respiratory disease season. So if you haven't gotten your flu shot, your COVID shot, your RSV shot, talk with your doctor about which one of these things are, if or not all of them, if not all of them. This is the time to protect yourself. But these are the folks that were laid off, and they weren't laid off strategically. They were laid off haphazardly. J.D. Vance himself admitted that it's chaotic. And he said, this chaos has to happen. But I fundamentally disagree. You can't lay off all of these leaders, including the entire staff of the CDC in Washington, D.C. That's the conduit to Congress from the diaspora of CDC people who are all over the world keeping an eye on all of these infectious diseases. What are we going to do when Congress doesn't know what's brewing? And what are we going to do as practicing doctors in the wilderness all across the country trying to make decisions for our patients without information?
It just, we hear that, some of them were immediately, you know, rescinded and the layoff notices and they were hired back. But A, we don't know that. We can't really trust you because there have been so many people who have heard that they were fired, then not fired, and then, well, yeah, you actually are fired, and then you're not fired.
Well, and this happened Friday at 9 o'clock on Friday night of a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
So we don't actually know who's there, who they took it back, but we just don't know.
It was all about, you know, looking tough, like, well, if you guys won't do what we want for the government shutdown, we're going to fire all these people. You did not have to fire all these people. That was not an inevitable function of a government shutdown. It means a lot of people work without pay and get paid later. But to take it to the step of actually firing people is, you know, wildly unnecessary. And I mean, that's just for starters of the things they've done that are so over and above what would be necessary in a government shutdown. And we mentioned that in the Sunday morning newsletter as well, that you've got all of these, you know, healthcare cuts, you've got all of the plain politics with spending cuts. We've talked about that. Now they're putting partisan propaganda on government websites. And even the airport video at TSA, which used to be a very common sense video of what could be in your bag and what couldn't be in your bag. And then when the administration changed in January, it was Kristi Noem, and it was just her. Just her talking like, I'm Kristi Noem from TSA and we're doing all these great things for you. Which it was not informative whatsoever. It was totally a vanity project. And now it's a new video with Kristi Noem going, because of Democrats shutting down the government, blah, blah, blah. I mean, again, just political propaganda playing in the airports. And somebody let it be known that these videos are not required to be played by the airports. And so Portland, Oregon was the first airport to go, yeah, we're not playing those.
I love Portland. All the pictures of the people in the blow-up costumes in the streets. That is just the best.
Oh, yeah. And Saturday Night Live did Tina Fey was on playing the role of Kristi Noem, Amy Poehler as Pam Bondi. And it was nice to see every so often Saturday Night Live gets its political mojo back and definitely had it in pointing out, I mean, yes, the ridiculousness, but the cruelty in a ridiculous way about the way that this shutdown is being handled and how it affects very real people and not just doctors and their patients. We've talked about in farming and in the business world, they're not seeing the data that government normally collects for all of us and enables us to make smart decisions about investments or planting or anything like that. And all of these functions are just gone right now. And again, only so that they, Trump and the Republicans, can protect the massive cuts that they made to healthcare. Thankfully, Kristen, poll after poll after poll is showing folks aren't buying this. They understand what's really at stake here.
Yeah, which means that when we're not buying it, we have to tell our representatives that we're not buying it. We have to let them know that this is not working for us. We are in an information deficit, as Pat said, in every field, whether it's agriculture or medicine or business. We don't have the data that we are used to make these important decisions. And I want to bring it back to the CDC and the firing of Dr. Susan Menares. She's a Trump supporter. She's a loyalist. And when she was told that she would have to fire people just because she was told to fire people, and she would have to rubber stamp medical decisions without weighing in on them, without using her professional capacity to determine whether they were correct or not, that was really where the levee broke for her, a Trump supporter. So if this is happening even in Republican camps, even in MAGA world, how extreme are these people? How reckless? And where does it stop? Is there any place where they are actually thinking this could be harmful to the American public? We need to have some sort of a conscience here. It doesn't appear that there is.
No, I mean, it really does look like you could not have asked for more if you were, say, I don't know, Vladimir Putin, and said, how can I undermine the United States of America? Oh, if only we had a president of the United States who would do the undermining of America for me. Mm-hmm. And it's happening on so many different fronts right now. And I heard somebody talk about this morning about, you know, the approaching 250th birthday of the country next year. And I'm just like, oh, I don't know that people have appreciated what either we have lost or what we are in danger of losing that has made America what it was for 250 years. And when you're laying off the people responding to Ebola outbreaks, that might be a hint.
of what we're facing right now and need to stand up against. Still ahead this morning, we're going to be talking to State Representative Jody Emerson about her new package of bills to support higher education in Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
A great idea to combine this stuff, too, because you hit on something right there of wanting a memory, wanting a moment. Yeah. That's where most people are nowadays. If they're going to spend their money on a ticket of anything, they want an experience. You're really giving people that with this. And Lori and Friends Catering is amazing. They're great.
They're awesome.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Can't imagine the items that will show up in that silent auction. They're always good stuff in those kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with assumption involved, you know it's going to be. So that'll be fun. So the looking at this, with opening night at least, you've got the cocktails, social, silent auction will kick off at 5:30. 6 will be the dinner with Lori and Friends Catering, as was mentioned. And at 7, opening night of Sister Act. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's a great night. Now, tickets for that, Ryan, are $60 for that night, or are they for just for that night?
Yep. So if you would like to experience the cocktails, the social, the silent auction, and the dinner, and even a dessert during intermission, the tickets are $60. However, you could also just come that night and witness the opening night for our regular ticket price, but you just come in when it's time. Just so you know, you'll probably be sitting on the bleachers, but it's really cool because Assumption's getting new bleachers, which this will kick off the new bleachers at Assumption.
There you go. Nice tie-up.
Good little thing there. So that's the price of that.
We'll tell you how to get tickets before we wrap up today and everything. But I'd also like to let the audience look behind the curtain a little bit about this stuff. Again, no pun intended. How often were you guys able to rehearse for this show?
Yeah, so we're dealing with a lot of stuff because here's the thing with Assumption. We don't just have people who are interested in theater. We've got a very small pool of people, right? And so even if you're interested in theater, you're also interested in football. You're also interested in tennis. And so what we've really had to do is really work with our our coaches for our fall sports and make sure that our rehearsals are kind of after all of the other ones. For me personally, I've been rehearsing every single night, but some of the kids, they'll get two nights, they'll get three nights, depending on who they are. They'll get, you know, four nights a week to rehearse. But we've been doing it since basically the first week of school. Has right been on auditions, and then second week of school, we jumped into it.
I appreciate that. For one, I like the audience to know how hard people work on these things when they're coming in to take these shows and what you're seeing out there and the work that's put into it. It's such a great point and something I think we forget about the farther we get away from high school and school in general and everything. I want to do this, but I also want to do this, this, and this, and there's only so many hours in the day and so many hours after school, and it's really encouraging and cool to hear of you and the coaches working together on this.
Yeah.
A big shout out to them for that.
Yeah, they've been super helpful and supportive of it. So,
for you throughout this process, is there something that is anything that stands out to you, or the process itself is just enjoyable?
Every time I do a show, it's so enjoyable because I just think of all the things I can do with it, you know. These kids have been such a fun aspect of the show. This is my first musical that I've directed, and it's a lot of the kids' first show as well. And so I think we've all just had this kind of, I don't know if inaugural is the word, but inaugural sense of like, we're here for the first time. We're learning this together in a way. And it's been really cool. But they've been troopers, so that's been awesome.
The feeling of starting something, of getting something kind of hopefully a trend starting, of bringing musicals back and some of that. That's a powerful feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. And that kind of feeling is a big part of the reason why we encourage you to support these shows. And while I love all types of theater and everything, if you're going to choose one type of theater to support, it's high school theater. It's these kids. Oh, yeah. There is no such thing as a bad high school show. It never has happened and it never will. Every one of these shows are amazing with these kids. They truly are. And I'm not just saying that to be nice. I truly genuinely mean that. And it's one of those things where, again, you're going to spend the money on the ticket. You're going to sit there and you're going to take in a good show. And from the bottom of your heart to the top of your head, you're going to be feeling good, not only from the entertainment of the show and laughing and all that, but knowing that you had just invested in your community.
Right.
You just helped the arts in your community. And there's also the other part of this, of what it does for these kids. We don't know what they might go on to do. They're all going to go on to do great, amazing things, I'm sure. But whatever they end up doing, they could use some confidence with it. They could use some people skills, some speaking in front of people skills, some of those things. When you're going and taking in these shows, you're supporting that. You're helping that. You're encouraging that. You're literally investing in helping the future, because that's what these kids are. And you're helping them do that just by taking in a show. And a good show at that, by the way. Sister Act is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you never know whose life is going to change either by doing theater. Theater has that effect on people.
Yeah,
and so helping out the arts is always super, super great.
Ryan, it's been great hanging out with you. I do really appreciate the time. Let's remind everybody the details of the performances, when they are, what to expect, and how they can get tickets.
So Sister Act is opening on November 13th, 2025. We have that whole dinner show, again, 5:30 p.m., cocktails, 6 o'clock dinner, 7 o'clock opening night. We also have a show November 14th on Friday night at 7 o'clock. And we also have a show November 15th. It's a two show day. So we have a Saturday matinee at 1 o'clock, a closing night performance at 7 o'clock. And for all of the performances, adult tickets are $15. Student tickets are $10. And if you're looking for tickets, you've got a bunch of places to go. The main place we're selling tickets is our show website that just got up today. You can find it at our.show/AHS Sister Act. I'll say that one more time. our.show/AHS Sister Act. You can also find it on AssumptionCatholicSchools.org or on our Facebook, Assumption Theatricals. We're doing a fun little Facebook thing that if we have 167 people on Facebook, followers, you might be entered into a raffle for a free ticket. So that's super exciting.
That's that's not only exciting, that's a great encouragement to people to like that page, subscribe to it, keep up to date on it. And again, buy local, support the arts, everybody, and take in this great show. Make plans November 13th or 14th or 15th, or take them all in because there's no reruns in theater. It's going to be a great time and you're going to enjoy yourself. And Ryan, we had a great time with you. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Please tell the cast, everybody involved, break a leg, have a great run.
Thanks.
And thank you for joining us, everybody out there, for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
There may be plenty of anxiety about where we're going to use all the milk that U.S. dairies are producing, but I'll tell you what, there's one category in Wisconsin that just can't keep up. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and this story takes us to western Wisconsin, where Westby Cooperative Creamery is now investing $14.1 million to modernize their facility and expand cottage cheese production. Emily Bielkowski is the sales and marketing manager at Westby Cooperative Creamery, and she says right now their goal, just trying to keep up with the surging demand.
The surge in demand for cottage cheese is attributed to some of the viral TikTok recipes and just increased consumer interest in high-protein, healthy diets. The market is projected to keep growing. We're responding to that with a modernization project that will update our cottage cheese making facility in general. Right now, our orders are 15 to 20% more than we can produce. We are oversold at this time. So with this project, we'll be able to meet that demand.
Emily Bielkowski with the Westby Cooperative Creamery. She says right now the current cottage cheese capacity is sold, and they get contacted weekly by organizations looking for more. High protein and clean label food trends are here to stay, and Westby Cooperative Creamery wants to keep pace. Markets are next.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Commodities cratered on Friday after discussions between the United States and China cratered. December new crop corn was down 5.25 cents at 413. November new crop beans down 15.5 at 10.06¾. July new crop wheat down 8¾ cents at 539.5. The November class 3 milk that goes into cheese finished 43 cents lower, 1621. Barrel cheese was down 3 at 171. 40-pound block cheese down 6 at 170. AA butter gained a quarter of a cent at 160.5. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds with some showers lingering this morning, then increasing sunshine through the day today and pleasant with a high pretty close to 70. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, a low right around 40 degrees. And for tomorrow, partly sunny and a high close to 60. Right now, it's 53.
Yeah! He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on.
And save! Badgers win the shootout.
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn! Badgers finish Michigan!
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the view from across the pond for Democrats who live overseas? We're going to hear from George King IV from Democrats Abroad. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Now, we mentioned earlier it's Indigenous Peoples Day. That's a holiday for some folks, including at Courier Newsroom. So Selena Heller will be back next week. You might have also said, where's Rob from Tigerton? Rob has a confession to make. Good morning from Tigerton. He put up on YouTube just minutes ago. It's cloudy and 54 degrees. I'm overtired. I slept over 10 hours. I had a busy weekend. Rob Parker and I can attest, no penalty for oversleeping, unless you're like the host of the show and you have to log on like right at 6 a.m. For everybody else, nope. You sleep what you can.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I am impressed. Can I borrow a couple of those 10 hours per chance?
I mean, I thought it was a big deal when I like once or twice hit like 6.5 hours sleep. And it just occurred to me to sleep for 8 hours.
It's hard. Is
for 8 hours and you're not like crispy, you know, like so sleep deprived from like a night or two before, like just a regular night and you'd sleep for 8 hours. I have no memory of when that might have happened previously in my life. It did happen. I just can't tell you when. Rob goes on to say Saturday went to visit my friend and classmate Debbie. They had a benefit for her for fighting breast cancer. Had a great time visiting and contributing to the benefit. So Rob is still with us. Just got to sleep in. You lucky dog.
Lucky guy.
Although, if you're overtired and working hard, I mean, look, the guy's been mowing lawns every weekend since the snow melted.
Rob's a busy guy.
He is. So he gets a pass that way. So, Rob, we're glad that you chimed in. And everybody else, you get to do the same. Head over to the Up North News or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages. Put a good morning in there. Let us know where you're listening from. Let us know if you have a question or a comment or your own two cents on the program. You can also leave a voice note using the Civic Media app or text us through the Civic Media app. And we like almost never talk about this, but I think we've got the phones working now. And at some point, now that I'm not traveling, we actually could start telling people the phone number again, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Parker's looking at the phone right now.
Yeah, it's not ringing yet.
Well, no,
I guess there is a 7-second delay.
I did give the phone number just now, so it might take a minute. Plus, we often have, you know, guests and other things going on that we, frankly, don't have the call volume of say, a Todd Alba. But everybody likes to talk to Todd Alba. I mean, he's an easy conversation, you know, and you can catch him from 2 to 4 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Otherwise, without the calls, I end up yapping about something that's on my mind. Here's one of them now. The State Assembly will be in session this week working on a bill. And one of the bills that Republicans running the legislature are looking at passing is a bill that would shield police or district attorneys when it comes to officer-involved deaths. Under current law, if there is an officer-involved death of some type, the district attorney in that county has the discretion whether or not to issue a criminal complaint that may charge that person with a crime. Current law also says that if a district attorney decides not to issue a complaint against an officer or somebody else involved in an officer-related death, a judge may conduct a hearing to determine if there is probable cause to believe that that person committed a crime, and if so, issue a criminal complaint. And that has happened in multiple instances where the family of somebody who died in an officer-involved situation did not like that the district attorney did not bring charges against that officer and a petition to a court, and a judge held a hearing and in some cases issued a criminal complaint against the officer or other person involved. Sounds like the system works the way it's supposed to right now. What would happen if you had a district attorney and or police, sheriffs, whatever, who essentially were circling the wagons, and you did not have that outlet for an independent judge or court to review the material? Well, that's exactly what Republicans want in this new bill that they're considering. Under this bill, when there is an officer-related death, a death which results directly from the actions or the omission of a law enforcement officer, and according to the bill, if the district attorney determines there is no basis to prosecute the officer, a court may not issue a complaint against the involved officer unless there is new or unused evidence presented. Which, again, if you read that part off to people, I could see a lot of people going, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. There needs to be new evidence if the DA decides not to prosecute. But that also puts the assumption in there that a DA is never going to feel sympathetic to the cop, or let's just take it to its extreme. If there are corrupt cops or corrupt district attorneys who are looking to protect themselves rather than the person that law enforcement officer killed, you'd never get any charges. You'd never get any justice. It would enable for cover-ups. That's why you need the option of having a judge take a look at the evidence. And so for Republicans to put forward this bill is, well, it's questionable. I truly question the motives of why you would remove a safeguard. And what those Republican lawmakers really aren't doing is they aren't putting their feet in the shoes of somebody. Let's say it happened to their son or grandson, daughter or granddaughter, being involved in an officer involved death. And of course, their first thought is, well, no, my kid's good. That would never happen. Well, again, you're now painting with a broad brush that anybody who has been killed by police or sheriff's deputies or state troopers or anybody like that, that they've all been guilty, that nobody's ever been wrongfully killed by officers in the line of duty. Were you not paying attention to everything that led up to George Floyd and beyond? I know there wants to be all of this. I mean, Scott Walker did it again last week. All this bringing up George Floyd and the protests, which led to riots, which led to fires and things, that they want that to negate and wash away all of the instances prior to that where unarmed people, primarily unarmed Black men and women, were killed in officer-involved incidents. And there may or may not have been charges. And many times if there were charges, the officer was still exonerated. And so there was this real sense that there is a lack of justice in the system. And now you want to take away another safeguard that's in there that would make sure there is at least, if nothing else, the illusion of justice, the prospect, the hope for justice. If that were to happen to your son or daughter, sister, brother, parent, it just does not make sense to remove the safeguards against circling the wagons, which can happen. We need judges to be able to hear the exact same evidence, the exact same testimony, and say, yeah, this does warrant a criminal complaint. And keep in mind, this is not a conviction. You're not convicting somebody. You are issuing a criminal complaint that says, let's go through this process and let's see if the evidence shows beyond a reasonable doubt that what this officer did was wrong, was so wrong that it constitutes a crime. You can't tell me that that never happens. And you can't tell me that we have to give all law enforcement a blank check to do whatever they think is best in the moment. Because again, you're simply opening the door to have an increase in the number of corrupt cops. And nobody likes to think about that. But if you think it's never happened, you're fooling yourself. And so we need a criminal justice system that provides that outlet for somebody independent of what's going on, you know, in police departments and prosecutors' offices to look at that evidence and make a determination as to, you know, whether we need to go forward with further investigation. Jim in Appleton writes on the text line, it is far too easy for law enforcement to avoid consequences in a death by simply saying, I was afraid for my life. And that's exactly the case. And there have been multiple instances of that just in the Milwaukee area. I don't have the article in front of me here, but Isaiah Holmes, a great writer for the Wisconsin Examiner, has looked into some of the officer-involved shootings in the Milwaukee area over the years and how the what were supposed to be the investigations into the officers' actions often became investigations into the family members of the people who were killed, or at least interrogations that put the burden of proof on the dead person rather than on the officer to show that you can't just say, I was afraid for my life. You're trained. You have training in things like de-escalation and other tactics. And yes, I would not want to be in their shoes. I salute anybody who goes into law enforcement for those reasons and puts their lives on the line all the time. But again, that is not a blank check for doing things that you know you shouldn't have done in the moment. And it is simply wrong to remove one of those safeguards that is in the legislation. So again, that's one of the things that will be taken up tomorrow, I believe, in the state assembly. I believe that bill has already passed the state Senate. And we'll talk about other legislative matters with State Representative Jody Emerson from the Chippewa Valley coming up in our next hour, including a package of legislation about higher education. And we'll have her explain what it does to, again, show that Wisconsin supports people who want to go get an education at a college and university or a technical school or anything beyond. There needs to be an emphasis on the whole range of jobs and careers, which includes the trades, but also includes colleges and universities and much more. And that includes making sure that higher education is affordable in the state and that the educators are supported in the state. And Representative Jody Emerson will be talking to us more about that coming up in a little bit. I also noted earlier, in case you missed it, in the legislature that another package of Republican bills going through would deal with what Republicans claim are onerous regulations, that we have apparently an onerous regulatory environment in the state, and that this new package of bills could make it easier for some of these regulations to be stripped away. But regulations can also be thought of as protections against, again, people who would pollute or bad employers or places that would rip you off as a consumer. And yet there are Republicans who've got this package of bills out there that would make it easier to repeal some of these laws, some of these protections. It would force state taxpayers to pay people who successfully win rollbacks of regulations. It would also put more paperwork into play before other regulations or protections could be put into effect. And then the one that really gets talked about is that, again, in their phrasing, regulations would automatically disappear after 7 years unless a state agency restarted the process to keep them in place. And again, for some people, that sounds wonderful that, you know, if a regulation is on the books, they have to prove it. Otherwise, it just goes away. Well, I would never be in the camp of saying, yeah, it should just go away. They should be reviewed. But to just say that they're going to go away and you get a legislature that is all in the back pocket of, you know, corporate industrial polluters, for example, and they don't take any steps to help a regulation be renewed and it just goes away. It's like Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee said, I like air and water, specifically breathable air. And I don't know what the price tag is on that. But it maybe should be that there are certain safeguards that are safeguards, you know, things that keep us safe and should not just go away on a political whim.
I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Tune in to WFHR on Friday, October 31st from 4 to 7 for a special Halloween broadcast featuring the entire station staff. Get ready for trick-or-treating by listening to spooky stories, scary songs, and creepy poems to get you in the mood for a frightfully fun evening. This special is brought to you by Johnson & Sons Jeep, Gary's Coins, Hoffman's Tackle, Elks Lodge 693, El Cafe, Maker's Square, Beaver's Dime Store, Jensen Community Center, and E-Way Sales & Pawn. Listen Halloween night from 4 to 7 if you dare.
The wait is over. Badger Hoops tips off this month. With new faces on the roster and highly anticipated conference battles ahead, the drive for excellence never changes. From buzzer beaters to Big Ten showdowns, Wisconsin men's basketball delivers the moments you live for at the Kohl Center. Purchase your single game tickets by visiting uwbadgers.com or by calling 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by the Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this Friday, October 10th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. I'm joined by some of our favorite people. We have the Historic Point Boss with us right now. We're going to be talking about some events coming up, going on at the area coming up around the corner. But first, I want to introduce our guests. We first have Joni Wolf with us. Joni, always good to see you.
Good to see you too, James.
Thanks for being here. And Mr. Mike Hittner with us. Mike, always good to talk.
Good morning, James, and everybody in Radioland.
Appreciate you being here, both of you, and all you guys put into our communities. And before we get into the Spirit Walk, which I love talking about with you, Mike, Joni, I wanted to go back and just rewind a little bit to the reenactment. No pun intended with rewinding to a reenactment. But how did that go? How did the event, how did it take place?
The historic encampment was this past weekend, and it was very well attended. It is an event that portrays the 1840s and the fur trade life in that time. There were people that they were making baskets, there were showing all of their...
There's a pie maker there for sure, I know.
Oh,
that.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? She was making a pie with wild rice, and she was adding honey and maple syrup to it.
And it's supposed to be just like pecan pie, though. I don't think Joni got a piece to try.
No, I didn't.
But it was well attended, and it seems like it was enjoyed by the community. I know I heard from a lot of people they enjoyed it.
And there is so much to learn. These people are so knowledgeable about that era, and so... It just kind of blows you away when you start listening to them and seeing how life was back then and how they had to live. And
I think what's a little different about this group, James, is that they do almost kind of a first-person reenactment, where a lot of we do is like third-person. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's a little different. To do first-person, you really got to be immersed in this stuff to be able to talk about, you know, what was going on, who was president, what treaties were signed, all this sort of thing, getting all that detail.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like this group really had that down.
Yes.
Yes, they do. Mm. It was very enjoyable. Very
cool.
Enjoyable.
Really good to hear, especially because I know at least one of the families that I talked to that went to it were asking right away, oh, will they do this again next year and that kind of thing. So I know that people are going to be excited about hearing about that and next year and all those things.
Yeah, and they've been doing, I think, about probably about 8 years now, I think. So it's been a regular event. Usually the last weekend of September, the first weekend of October usually falls about that time.
Thank you for that, Joni. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
There is always something going on over at this Tour Point, Boss. You've all done a very good job. We've talked about this, Mike, about spreading out events and everything. It's hard for me to say what a signature event is, but boy, if you guys have a signature event, the Spirit Walk could be it. It is such a well-attended and well-loved in tradition.
I don't know where the name came up from because it's back in history there, probably 15, 20 years ago, but it, really... is a name that says it all, really, because it's not a scary event where people grab you or anything like that sort of thing, but it's eerie from the sense of these characters, a lot of times doing first-person, you know, characterization, and how they come on, tell the story of how they lived, how they died, sometimes a little gruesome, but that's, you know, that was the story at that time. But it's a lot of fun for our own people and also for the people that are doing it. We got people from community theater, at least, three or four people from community theater and from different organizations within the city. And then also a couple of our own, two, three of our own people do it. So it's kind of a mix of everything. Kind of, I don't know when to say it, but because this came much before whodunit, but a little bit of, you know, the whodunit, Spirit Walk, you know, it's kind of amalgamation. And when you come to Spirit Walk, you'll see some of those people that were in whodunit. So, yes.
Right away, a big thank you to the volunteers and everybody that, you know, is able to put this on and work, takes time out of their day to be a part of this one. Very similar to the other event. The Spirit Walk is an immersive experience. It's a really fun, living, walking experience of history and, you know, fright. A nice fright, a family fright.
And it's, you know, we suggest for people that maybe have a little rougher time with or harder time with uneven surfaces to come early. Because then it's light outside and you can see good and everything like that. And when you go from place to place, because you're going to walk probably a good quarter of a mile before you're done.
In the dark.
In the dark later on, for sure. And they're always led by a leader that leads you with a lit lantern. And then you go from place to place and then you view all the ghosts of the past and some that probably didn't even know were on the way. And you will find out that they come out of... almost nowhere to visit you. So, yes, it's a very immersive experience. Hot apple cider from our own apple trees that were pressed at Harvest Fair. And you get some hot apple cider and get a little camaraderie. And our group that does the tickets kind of does a really good job of putting groups together. Normally about 12 to 15 maximum in any one group because some of the buildings have capacity limits and that sort of thing. And so it's a lot of fun. And when you're down there, too, you know, if it isn't too dark, you can see the historic Wakely home and its reconstruction and how it looks now and that sort of thing. They're doing stone along the foundation and everything, so it looks really great.
Yeah. There is safety in numbers, so the grouping is really nice.
That's
really
better fun. For everybody.
It's better for everybody. But no, I appreciate you mentioning the grouping things, because I was talking to my mom about this last weekend, and we couldn't place it for sure, but we're almost pretty sure this was the first event we as a family attended when we moved here in this area. I believe we heard about it through my grandparents, and we went to it and did no idea what to expect. There was no, you know, we couldn't look it up online back then or anything like that, because I'm old and we were here pre-internet. But we knew, okay, Spirit Walk, that's kind of my mom's thing. She gets into that stuff. This should be fun. We go down there, and it just fell in love with that area, fell in love with this area, really. And not only the history of it, but the people of it and everything. It was our first real good experience in this area, and something that we had never been a part of before. I mean, we're from the city. We're from Chicago. And they don't have anything like this over there, as far as living, breathing history and stuff. Great museums, but nothing like this.
If Joni and I went to Chicago, we'd be scared too.
Yeah. There's a similar to the Story Point Boss, the history sometimes is worse than the present.
Yes.
When it comes to things at this event and the fun of this event, one of the funnest parts of this event is if you've been to it in years past, it's the same as it was then as far as paying for the event, Mike.
Right. The price is the same. It's $5.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. 20 living Israeli hostages welcomed home today. A hostage group says 4 of the dead will be returned Monday in the West Bank. Crowds greeted hundreds of Palestinian prisoners released from Israeli jails. President Trump spoke to the Israeli Knesset after the exchange.
Immediately demilitarized, that Hamas will be disarmed, and Israel's security will no longer be threatened.
Knesset Speaker Amir Ohana paid tribute to Mr. Trump.
You have proven that true peace is achieved through strength, and that only those who are prepared to use force in the present can prevent the need to use it in the future.
President Trump travels to a peace summit in Egypt next. Mahmoud Abbas, head of the Palestinian Authority, has already arrived. CBS News Special Report.